We're glad to be here tonight, and I just want to talk about just briefly a topic that I guess I've been doing a lot of this summer, and that sound it may sound kind of weird, but I've been doing a lot of thinking. You ever done a lot of thinking? No. Usually I'm too busy to think, but as Grover and I were joking about last year, when I start painting, me and the wall and the brush, and my mind starts going, and I start thinking. And he hated that because he said, the more I thought, the more jobs I came up for him to do. And but I didn't do that to him this year, so we're good. But, we spend a lot of time thinking. Or today I had a run, drive to a paint store in Pensacola. And you're just driving. If you're hopefully thinking about where you're going, sometimes I am so deep in thought that I'm like, I wonder how many red lights I just ran. Did I stop back there? You know, you ever done that? Am I the only one? I don't know. Maybe I am. Thank you, Brian. He's got me over there. So you're deep in thought and you're thinking and you're going, but I was kind of pondering and contemplating that in the Bible. You know, we hear that word meditate, don't we? We hear that word meditate. We have it in our Bible in numerous different places about thinking and meditating. And I'm not talking about, you know, the religions and the Eastern transcendental type religions that believe in, you know, reaching some meditation state of nirvana or something, you know, and becoming at one with nature and all these kind of things and doing these, I don't know, they sit in these circles with their legs crossed and doing some weird. I couldn't even, if I sat like that, I wouldn't be able to get up. So I don't know how they do that, but they meditate and they spend hours doing that to try to reach some inner peace, right, is what they're trying to go for. And, you know, you don't need salvation or anything. You just got to reach this special nirvana peace. We're not talking about that type of meditation. And we're talking about the way the Bible tells us to think. And if you look at the old standard dictionaries, the word in the English simply means to dwell on something in thought, to contemplate something or to study something out. And, you know, sometimes, I don't know, it seems in our culture, these have helped us become kind of mindless. You know what I'm saying? You just kind of sit there and just, you know, and we, you know, there's nothing wrong with checking things. You know, I check news outlets or, you know, news things. I don't watch the news. I just kind of read updates and headlines, you know, or you sit there and you just kind of scroll or you just sit there and just, you're kind of mindless and numb. You ever been like that a little bit? I don't know. Maybe I'm just the only one. So I'm sorry. I'm preaching at myself tonight. You know, you get just kind of numb and mindless and we don't really put effort into thinking. I emphasize this a lot with our young people when I teach in chapel or I speak in a Bible class or anything and regularly. I always emphasize to them, especially at their age, that there is a great battlefield in the mind. And it is the battlefield where Satan is doing a lot of damage to our young people, even to adults, even to people in our country today and around the world. He's doing it through social media. He's doing it through whatever, the TV screens or just books or anything he can promote. He's trying to push his agenda. And he's trying to get us to not meditate the way God wants us to meditate. Or to not think on things and ponder things, the avenues that God wants us to ponder. And so I just wanted to point out four very simple verses tonight. And four different things that really we should be thinking on. You're driving your truck or, you know, a Ford. If you're driving a Ford, you don't have to think much because it's such a good vehicle. It just does it for you. We finally converted our pastor over to the good side. So after, you know, how many years of professing to be saved, he finally is a born-again believer. No, I'm just kidding. Got it. Yeah. Or he lost his salvation when he got a Ford. I don't know. But, you know, you're just driving down the road and just where does your mind go? You know, I catch myself thinking about things that are kind of useless or just thinking about things that are petty or vain or that really don't mean anything. And it's a wonderful time when we're not busy doing things to be thinking about the things of the Lord, to think about the good things He's done for us or spiritual things, to meditate on those things. And I just want to read a few verses, four different things of what we should be thinking on. And we'll begin the book of Joshua tonight. Again, there are hundreds of passages we could look at. We're just going to look at three or four simple ones tonight that I drew my mind to. Joshua chapter 1. This is, again, Joshua, you know, starts out and says, Moses is dead, and so what are we going to do now? It's kind of interesting. I've always thought that was interesting that the Lord came to Joshua, the son of Nun, and the first thing he said is, well, Moses is dead. So, you know, it's almost like, well, that's over. Quit thinking about it and boo-hooing about it or being sad about it. We got work to do. Let's get up and get moving. We got to get and take this land that I've given you. So here in verse number 8, this is what the Lord is telling him. He's telling him several things. And Verse 5, he's saying, no man is going to stand against you. Verse 6, be strong and have a good courage. Verse 7, be strong and courageous and do all the law. But look at verse 8. This book of the law shall not depart out of thy mouth. So we're going to keep on speaking the word of God. But thou shalt meditate thereon, or therein, day and night. We read about that quite a bit in the book of Psalms as well. To meditate on the law of God, meditate on the statutes of the Lord, the testimonies of the Lord. And that idea, the word there, meditating, the root meaning is the idea of musing. Or it's almost like an inner groaning where you don't articulate words, but you're thinking about the book of the law. You're thinking about really what the first thing is here, God's word. Putting our thoughts and our minds on God's word. You know, I often, people told me this a lot when I was growing up. And I just remember, distinctly a conversation I had with my dad. I must have been, 12 or 13 years old. And I was really having a hard time because, you know, I struggle with things like every teenager does, or even adult. If you don't remember that, maybe it's too far gone for you to think back. But I remember my teenage years vividly. I really do. I remember the struggles with your own desires of the things you want to do. Or, you know, I really wanted to please my mom and dad, and I wanted to obey, and then I'd go over there and, you know, be mean to my sisters or something like that, or disobey my mom, or get in trouble and have to get a spanking. I remember laying in bed, and I couldn't go to sleep, and I was just thinking, why do I always have to, you know, I believed I was a believer, I accepted Christ, but I was still, you know, doing the things that I wanted to do sometimes and fighting that battle. And I went to my dad, and I got up out of bed and went and saw my dad, and I told him, I said, Dad, I want to do good, and I just struggle with it sometimes. I don't know what to do. And I remember my dad always, he said, you've got to read God's word and remember what you read. I'll never forget those words that came out of his. He said, remember. And that really means a lot because, you know, we can sit here and just, you know, just flip through and read. But to think on it, to meditate on it, to put it in your mind to where you will remember it, because that's what happens here in Joshua chapter 1, verse 8. Notice, if you meditate day and night, constantly throughout the day, it's on your mind, that thou mayest observe to do. If we aren't thinking and meditating on God's word, then we're not going to be able to do what God wants us to do. I think that's what my dad was trying to get across to me. To meditate, to remember what God's word says, and it will naturally, over time, as you continue to bathe yourself in God's word, and remember it and meditate on it. And I'm not talking about trying to read the Bible while you're driving, right? Anyway, instead of doing that, we need to be thinking and meditating. And, you know, people have apps on their phone. You know, use your phone for something good. They have apps that'll read God's word to you out loud. Did you know that? You can just, it'll play audible. You can plug it into your car. You can Bluetooth it. You know, you got sermons and all kinds of things. It's an incredible tool that we are able to use. And what is it? It's just thinking about God's word. I like listening to occasionally when I can catch it just right, even shows like Unshackled or something. You know, that comes on, I think, around noon or something on their radio station. I like thinking about that, of how God delivered people from their sins and just radically transformed their lives. Or hearing old J. Vernon McGee, or, you know, just hearing the Bible being read, helping your mind to meditate. Because then it says in that verse, then you're going to make your way prosperous, and then you're going to have success. Has the idea in the Hebrew of you're going to grow in advance, and you're going to become wiser. And I think there's a lot to that. There's a lot to God wanting us to do things with wisdom. And we've got enough foolishness in this world. I don't know if you've noticed that. There's enough foolishness around. Now, there's enough people doing what they want, living for themselves, following after the things of the world. And God wants us to be immersed in His Word, meditating, thinking on His Word, so that we can progress in wisdom, so that we can grow in the things of the Lord. So let's, first of all, meditate on God's Word. Let's go to another verse. This may seem like a unique one, but let's go to Isaiah chapter 26. Again, there are tons of verses I could have chosen, but these were just a few that stood out to me. Isaiah chapter 26. Isaiah 26, think about Israel. They're facing this upcoming captivity, but yet God's going to deliver them. And they're going to go through some difficulty, some hardships. And notice, and through it all, we won't have time to get into the context, verse 3. We know this verse. Thou wilt keep him in perfect peace. You know this verse. Whose what? Mind is stayed on thee. We've heard that verse. I've heard it since I was a child. Wonderful verse. Amazing truth. Because he trusteth in thee. Verse 4, trust ye in the Lord forever. For in the Lord Jehovah is everlasting strength. And we need to meditate on God's care and maybe even the word His refuge. You know that God sees us, cares for us, every little detail of things in our life. It's the Lord is working. You know, even in things that I was telling Todd, little things that probably don't mean a whole lot to you. I don't know, maybe you do. Brian would understand this one. We had to paint 5 cabinets for Tara. So Ben, the He-Man, he did a good job. Me and Ben, I had a terrible back, but he's a just lift Waddy, and he just went, okay, we got it. And we hauled all 5 of them out there and lined them up behind the learning center, and all the camp cars were driving by thinking, what in the world's going on out there? And I started spraying the oil primer, and yeah, at least that was outside. That was nice. Sprayed that up, and then I started seeing this dark cloud come up. I thought, oh, my God. I had just looked at the radar. 0% for the next 5 or 6 hours. Oh, this is the perfect window. We're going to get this done. And I saw this dark cloud coming. I thought, oh, no. It came out of nowhere. Looked back at the radar. Sure enough, it had just popped up out of nowhere. And it looked like it was kind of coming toward us, and it might skirt us. And I saw a couple little sprinkles get on that oil primer. And I said, well, I just finished, so maybe it'll dry in time. And that cloud just kind of went a little bit south and just kept moving that way over toward the east, and it just kind of thundered and lightened off over there, and I was able to final coat, spray him, and get him back in without any damage. And I said, you know, that the Lord was good. That may not seem like a big deal to you, but I want to tell you, if that oil primer had gotten wet, Tara wouldn't have any nice cabinets. They would have ruined them. It really ruined them. And I thought, you know, that's just the Lord. He does that a lot in the baseball season too, doesn't he? People, it's pouring up here. What are y'all doing? Well, it's pouring at the city of Milton, but right here at GP, there's this little umbrella that God put up for us. You know, I don't know how else to explain it. And the Lord's good in little things like that. He is caring about us, and our mind needs to be stayed on Him. Because I tell you, there is so much going on today. If your mind is stayed on politics, you're going to get upset and disappointed. If your mind is stayed on what, you know, riches and wealth and what the world has to offer and all the pursuits of the world, you're going to be disappointed. But if your mind is stayed on a God who is our refuge, that as verse 4 says, He has everlasting strength and He'll take care of everything. You know, I try not to think about it, but I'm about to be in a small mini panic. I'm not going to, because I know the Lord's good. But we need a teacher. We got a week left. Well, you know, a week and a half, 2 weeks. The day school starts, Miss Pepper. We've got till August 10th. We're good. You know, we prefer to have someone setting in place by teacher week. You know, the Lord's brought people during teacher week before. We've had people that had a family emergency or something that had to quit or withdraw, and the Lord brought someone right behind it. I can't explain that, but I just know that we're just going to trust in the Lord. And our meditation, our thoughts better be first in Joshua on God's word, but here in Isaiah, it better be on our strength, our refuge, our bulwark, as the psalmist says so many times. It better be on our caring Jehovah God, because He cares for us and He wants to fulfill His will in our lives, and our mind needs to be stayed, focused on Him. The word stayed there, it really has the idea of leaning on and being supported by. It was kind of funny. I was joking with Jennifer the other night at Gators. We were kind of busy. We were just kind of running around. And if you come into the kitchen, there's a wall right to your right. And I, you know, people pick on me there because I just go run 100 mile an hour the whole time. But anyway, I was busting through the doors like I normally do. And there was Jennifer just standing against the wall like this, just leaning against the wall and looking at Bill, and Bill's probably thinking, what do you want? What's going on? What's happening out there? And she was just holding up the wall, or the wall was holding up her. She was tired, and she was leaning on that wall. You ever been like that? You're just, I need something to lean on. Or you think, you know, you just, oh, I'm going to sit down for a minute. We like those ROTC, rest on the can jobs, or I can sit down and I can brush this, you know, really good, or something like that. You know, you need support. That's the idea here in the Hebrew, is that we're going to take our thoughts and our mind, and we're not going to worry, and we're just going to lean up against something that is a whole lot stronger than we are. A whole lot, He's sovereign. He's in control. And aren't you glad you can just kind of lean on Him? Not in some weird emotional way, you know, but just I can put all my care, I can just kind of throw it over there and just take a breather for a second. Because the Lord is in control, and He knows what He's going to do. So let's meditate on the Lord and His greatness in that regard, that we can lean on Him and give our and have our support, and it gives us peace in our heart. In a world of very much lacking peace, rioting and chaos and people angry about everything and chasing down people and making a big mess and paying protesters and many times because of sin. But we can have peace in our heart when we just lean on the Lord. Quickly, let's go to Philippians chapter 4. We know this one. What else should you meditate on? Very familiar verses tonight. Philippians chapter 4. You could probably quote this verse. Our pastor went through it recently in his series. Chapter 4, let's start in verse number 7. And the peace of God which passeth all understanding shall keep your hearts and your minds. It's an important part. So what should we think on? Our minds through Christ Jesus. So finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are of good report, if there's any virtue, if there's any praise, think on these things. You know, many times I find myself we just kind of let it go a little bit. And we begin thinking on things that are the antithesis of verse 8. We think on the unhonorable. We think on, instead of the pure, we begin to think on the impure. Instead of the lovely, we think on the ugly. We begin to kind of think about things that are not of good report or not of good reputation. And if we allow our mind to be, my mom used to say slovenly. I don't know if you've ever heard that word or not. I was like, what's that, Mom? Is that Russian? I don't know. Just slothful in your mind. Just kind of let it wander a little bit. There's a lot of danger in that, I'm going to tell you. Young people, there's a lot of danger in letting your mind just wander. It is a battlefield, and as 2 Corinthians says, we've got to cast down imaginations. We've got to fight a battle, fight the war, wage a war, because Satan wants our thoughts to just go away from the Lord. Because if we stop meditating on the Lord, then we will not follow after His precepts, and then we won't have peace and all these things we've read about. And the devil wants us to go that way. He's already got the minds of the sinners. He doesn't have to worry about them. They're going to naturally think evil. But he wants to take our minds away from these things that are honest and pure and of good report and virtue and praise. And I know we live in days of a lot of unpraiseworthy things, a lot of impure things, a lot of things of a bad reputation that aren't honest, that aren't honorable. But as God's people, we need to put our minds on those things. You know, and my mom used to tell me too, or my teachers all the time, you know, if your mind starts going down certain paths, or, you know, start quoting Bible verses. My dad's told me that before. I told you about my dad's terrible life that he grew up in before he got saved in his early 20s. I got saved in prison. And he would often tell me, I have to, if I hear a certain song, you know, I know some people think, oh, music's no big deal. Well, to my dad, it's a big deal. Because if he hears a certain song from the 60s and 70s, then his mind goes automatically to all the mess that he used to be involved in. The drug culture, the terrible lifestyle, everything. And he says, I just start thinking Bible verses or put on a preaching message or something. He'll go in there and there's some computer website somewhere that has sermon audio. I think that's what it is. Anybody ever heard of that? Sermon audio. He just goes in there and listens to the old sermons and the old revival days. And he said, I have to do that because my mind will go there. And you know, sometimes I grew up in a Christian home, Christian school, Christian everything. And so we tend to think it's no big deal to let my mind kind of go a little bit. And it goes right down the paths of the non-virtuous, things that we can't give praise to the Lord. And as Paul is saying here, our thoughts and minds should be focused on putting it toward the things. If you want to summarize verse 8, again, Joshua, God, put it on God's word. In Isaiah, put our minds on God's refuge. Here in Philippians, I would say, put your mind on what's right. It's that simple. Put your mind on what's right. If it's not right, if it's wrong, don't think about it. Say, Lord, get that out of my mind. You ever prayed that before? I have. Say, Lord, get this out of my mind. Or you'll just be driving in some billboard somewhere or something. Or something flashes on the screen. Lord, get that out of my mind. You have to pray and ask God to do it, and He'll do it. And get your mind focused on the right things. And then one last one here, and go back to the Old Testament, is Psalm Number four. Again, you'll know this verse too. And again, I said it three times. Hundreds of verses we could have looked at, and I'm sure all of you could stand up and quote some verse about our thoughts and meditation and where it should be on the Lord. But our last one here, yes, we should meditate on God's Word, on God's refuge and sovereignty, on we should meditate on what's right. And lastly, chapter 4, verse 4, it's kind of interesting. I'm going to call it this. We should meditate on our own ways. Now, that's the scary one. Our ways aren't God's ways. We know that. But you ever meditated on your ways? That's what I remember my dad used to, that was one thing he prayed. You ever catch yourself? I have certain things that I say almost every time I pray, and I try not to make it habitual, but I truly mean it. One of the things I always ask the Lord, even if I'm praying for dinner or something, I always say in my mind, Lord, help me to do your will. That's something I've prayed since I was a teenager. And sometimes I say, Lord, help me to mean that I've said that. I probably pray it three or four times a day, but I want to do your will. One of the things my dad prays probably almost every time is he says, Lord, help me not to go in my ways. You know, our ways are rotten. Isaiah 53, verse 6. All we like sheep have gone astray. We have turned everyone to his own ways. And the Lord took all of our ways and laid it on Christ. And our ways, we convince ourselves that we're okay. But notice, we need to be meditating on and thinking about, are my ways, am I walking in the ways of truth? Look at verse 4 of chapter 4. Stand in awe and sin not. Commune with your own heart upon your bed and be still. Well, if I heard that from my mom once, I heard it a billion times. I was the fidgety boy or whatever, you know. I'm surprised. If I was a kid today, they'd probably, your doctor would say I have ADHD and all these XYM and whatever else disease they want to throw in. They'd probably have me on 800 milligrams of Ritalin. And I'd be sitting like a zombie or something. But my mom would say, sit still. You know, and my brothers and I were 100% boy. I don't know how else to describe that. You know, I see some kids like that sometimes in school. And I don't mean it wrong. I like seeing a boy being all boy. I don't think we have enough of that these days. Now, of course, we want them to be disciplined and everything in its right place and time. But, you know, I'll see a boy, you know, hop out of his desk and, you know, like a jetpack or something's taken off, you know, okay. We're not going to make a huge explosion in the classroom, but, you know, I like seeing boys being boys. And I'm getting sidetracked. I got to get off that. Anyway, my mom would always tell me to be still. And the Hebrew is the idea of be quiet. We can't meditate if we're being loud. And there's two ways to be loud. Number one, we won't shut up. And number two, we allow the noise of the world to just be way too loud. We got the world volume knob. We've kind of turned that one up a little bit. And the world's really loud. That's not being still. And having our ideas and opinions, that's not being still. And it's time for us to evaluate. It says to be still or silent, kind of the idea of the word of dumb or speechless. And to say in our heart or commune, to speak in our own heart, to speak with our heart, to investigate it, to meditate it, to examine our heart. So here, what one thing we should meditate upon is our ways. Lord, am I truly serving you? Have I become cold? Have I become a little apathetic? Come a little bit, well, same old thing every day, in and day out. Yep, just keep going. And you know, we get like that. Don't we? I do. I mean, you know, you don't have to admit it. That's okay, but I will. I get like that. And you have to say, Lord, where am I compared to where I ought to be? We can never come to the place where we're just, yep, that's enough. We're good. We need to meditate upon our ways and say, Lord, am I walking with you? Where are some things that maybe the Lord's convicting your heart about? You know, a good time to meditate is after a message or, hearing something. And you say, Lord, is that me? Meditate on it. Commune with your own heart and ask yourself those pointed questions. Get things right with the Lord and be more conformed to the image of Christ. And I hope that as we go through, you know, it's been a busy summer here on campus. We've had a lot going on. And it's easy to just get caught up in all the busy and not meditating upon the Lord. He's a great God. He's sovereign. We can be at peace. We can lean and rest on Him. He cares for us. But yet we need to be thinking about the right things and immersing ourselves in His Word as well. Father, just thank You so much for Your Word, that we can meditate upon it. Father, forgive us for the times where we've just been thinking kind of numbing, just not even thinking about anything, just kind of being like a vegetable, just there existing. Father, that could be dangerous. Help us, Father, to exercise our mind for discernment, to exercise our mind to think on the things that please You. Lord, we can never meditate on Your goodness enough. Lord, it'll change our perspective of life. It'll help us to be more thankful. It'll help us to stop complaining. It'll help us to be grateful for all the things You've done. It'll give us a new perspective and a good attitude. So, Father, I pray that You would help us to meditate and think on those things that are approved by Your Word, those things that are excellent. I pray these things now in Christ's name. Amen.